When the sound of it had died out, the blast of a great horn replied, not from the tower itself, but from the roses that lay in a carpet all around it. That horn was the voice of the roses, and cried him welcome with a kingly blast. In my dreams, the horn was always mine, he thought. I should have known better, for mine was lost with Cuthbert at Jericho Hill. A voice whispered from above him. It would have been the work of 3 seconds to bend and pick it up. Even in the smoke and the death, 3 seconds. Time, Roland. It always comes back to that. That was, he thought, the voice of the beam, the one they had saved. If it spoke out of gratitude, it could have saved its breath, for what good were such words to him now? He remembered a line from Browning's poem. One taste of the old times sets all to rights. Such had never been his experience. In his own, memories brought only sadness. They were the food of poets and fools, sweets that left a bitter aftertaste in the mouth and throat. Roland stopped for a moment, still 10 paces from the ghostwood door in the tower's base, letting the voice of the roses, that welcoming horn, echo away to nothing. The feeling of déjà vu was still strong, almost as though he had been here after all. And of course he had been, in 10,000 premonitory dreams. He looked up at the balcony where the Crimson King had stood, trying to defy Ka and bar his way. There, about 6 feet above the cartons that held the few remaining sneeches, the old lunatic had had no other weapons after all, it seemed, he saw 2 red eyes. Floating in the darkening air, looking down at him with eternal hatred. From their backs, the thin silver of the optic nerves, now tinted red-orange with the light of the leaving sun, trailed away to nothing.